smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Number 21, I'm Fred Green. Our goal is to provide you with the best information about the latest golf products, but we're not just talking to players or journalists. We go right to the source of where the products come from. As always, my partner in this process is the technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf, Kenny Nicholson. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Absolutely fine. Excited about today's show.
Very excited. Hey, you know, I've been getting emails from a lot of people saying that they've gotten the new Edwin Watts Golf catalog, and they love the pictures of your kids.
Thank you very much. They think they're celebrities, so that's a good thing.
They are the next American Idol, okay?
So those of you that haven't got the new catalog, there's a picture of me and my daughters on the cover of it. So it's a special treat for them and myself as well.
Very, very nice. Good Father's Day present for you.
Absolutely.
And because of our placement in iTunes this past week, there's a lot of people listening to the show for the first time. And if you are new to the program, we'd love to welcome you and glad to have you on board. And we encourage you to stick around to the end of this because there is a great chance that you will have the opportunity to win a brand new product from our guest today. And it also comes from our sponsor, Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com. We're also going to announce the new checkout code for how you can receive 10% off and free shipping from any purchase you make from edwinwattsgolf.com. Kenny, you know that we have a new code coming up.
We do.
Okay. Well, let's get right to business here because I'm very excited about our guest today, and that would be Tom Olsovsky, who is the Senior Director of Product Creation for TaylorMade. Tom, welcome to the show.
Great to be here with you guys.
I really appreciate it. There's lots of great things going on at TaylorMade. How long have you been working there?
I've been here 12 years now, and it's been a very exciting ride for TaylorMade when I've been here, and we've gone from a variety of different things we've launched over those years, and I've actually had about 10 different jobs in 12 years, so it's always fresh and new and exciting, and we've been very successful lately, so that's even better.
And explain to me what it means to be the Senior Director of Product Creation.
My job is basically to work with our marketing team and basically go tell our engineers the products how to go longer and be straighter than the last product. Really pretty easy. Actually, it's in many ways, we're the connector between a lot of different groups in our organization, whether it's our tour reps, our sales reps, our internal marketing people, our external customers, such as Edwin Watts, golfers out there, and our internal technical staff, which now in golf clubs we're numbering, I would say, over 50 technical people, whether that's engineers or technicians, that every day are working on golf clubs. So it's a busy job. We spend a lot of time in meetings, but every now and then we get the chance to do some exciting things. Like this week, I was actually at the tournament at, I'm trying to remember the actual name, sorry about that. It's the Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial. So we were there working with tour players on some of our new products, getting some feedback for them, just kind of getting the vibe on the new products out there. So we do a lot of different things in our role as product creators. We do a lot of time in meetings working with our design staff internally. Now, when I say design staff, that's industrial designers. They're working on the size, shape, color of our products. We work with our technical staff, our engineers, really, who are designing everything on the computers and then working with these prototype parts to test them and make sure that everything's working very well. So we spend a lot of time. Our time is mostly from 18 months prior to the launch of a product up to the launch of the product. So we're actually working on things now that we're going to see in the marketplace about 18 months from now. So it's very exciting. You get a look ahead, but it's also challenging in trying to come up with better golf clubs for the players out there.
Tom, that brings up a good point. I want to ask a quick question because you guys work so far in advance for product launches. And then, I mean, how closely do you guys work with the USGA as far as rules changes? Because with the new rule with the shaft not having to be epoxy to the head, and you have these new quick fit technology benefits in drivers, are you guys get a heads up on that so you can start creating that product long in advance?
Yes, we do. We get a very detailed briefing with the USGA many times a year, whenever they have new rules, whenever they're thinking about new rules, whenever they're testing new rules, and also whenever we submit new clubs. We are, as you can imagine, submitting clubs constantly to them for approval. Some of them just a product that we're going to sell, but some of them as concepts of what we might want to do several years from now. And so in many cases, it's a very close relationship with them in terms of trying to determine how the equipment's going to provide benefits to the golfer, but also how it's going to maintain conformity to the rules, and working on future rules, future directions for our company, and the way we can improve the products in the future. So a very detailed relationship with them. They work very well with us much in advance of rules. So many of these rules that you see come out to the marketplace or when the USGA announced them, they go through a process of proposing the rule and sending us a letter about what the rule is, and then we have some conversations back and forth, and there's multiple, I would say, counter-proposals or comments that we give back to them, as well as all the manufacturers, in terms of helping to give them our input, particularly from a technical standpoint, on what these new innovations could be or what our suggestions of what they should be. And in the end, what happens, they kind of roll it all together and we'll finalize their rule with all this feedback. So it's a very in-depth process. And as any of those ruling bodies would be in any sport or organization, there's always some challenges there. We certainly think they should open up the rules, and in some cases they tighten the rules on us. So it's a challenge, certainly. But as you know probably, Kenny, Dick Ruggie was a TaylorMade employee for a long time, and he was our head of R&D for a long time here. So we have a very close relationship with Dick. He is the technical director at the USGA. Dick actually hired me back in 1996 at TaylorMade, so I keep in very close contact with him, as a number of our other people in the organization. Hope that helps.
It's okay. We got time.
It does definitely help. The other, to tie into that real quick, and you can be quick with it, but did they ever, they talk about proposed rule changes and things of that nature. Did they ever tell you of a rule that they're thinking about changing, and you guys have actually put the cart before the horse and started to develop a product, and then they come back and say, no, we're not going to change that rule?
Yes, that actually happened to us. If you think back to the year 2002 with the R500 series, and the rule in question there was, at the time, there was a proposal by the USGA was they were going to allow higher COR drivers for general consumer use. They were going to maintain the COR limit for what was considered tour and competitive use. So with the 500 series drivers, which we launched in the fall of 2002, they sort of changed their mind and said, okay, we're not going to make those acceptable for the general population in the United States. The RNA, was not proposing a rule. So we continue to sell the higher COR clubs overseas, but the USGA actually sort of hampered us a little bit because we were in what I would call launch mode, where we had all of our production tools done, we had our first parts coming in that would have been the higher COR versions, and we had to go back and re-engineer them to meet the conformance of the rule. Now, the challenge there was we were already engineering those for tour, but the difference is when you're TaylorMade in our size, typically a driver launch like that is somewhere in the several hundred thousand units. And in general, tour product, we probably go through 5,000 to 10,000 units. So we had tooling and capabilities to provide for tour what would have been the conforming product. And the larger marketplace, we had all this other product. So we had to do some tricky things there at the end. We shifted some of that production overseas and then had to wrap up our production. It certainly cost us some time and money in that period. So that's certainly something we're very cautious in our dealings with them and making sure that everything is approved now. And I think they've gotten much better at that over time with a little bit more feedback and comment period, a little bit more thought into the long-term ramifications. So our biggest push has also been to say, in general, when we launch a product, we need at least probably 9 months of visibility on a roll change before we can actually affect what we would ship 9 months later. And so that makes some challenges. So there are some concerns when they do have rules that are what we would call maybe either late or changes to the rules that would affect us. And certainly going forward, we're very active in communicating with them about that, in saying that, you know, we need the time. So we understand what they want to do with rules. And we may not agree with the rules, but we certainly argue very strongly about having enough time to, you know, make the changes to put the product in the market that would be conforming.
Do you find that the technology is changing faster now than any other time in your history with this company?
Well, certainly. I think if you go back to 1996 in terms of launching, let's say, a driver, it would probably take us 2.5 years between sort of the concept, the prototyping, the development, and then shipping that product. Now we're down to probably 12 to 15 months. Those times are really when we decide what we want to launch. There's certainly R&D that's done prior to those time periods. So now it's probably shrunk in half from what we would do from, you know, launching a commercial product. So we know also that we've built up the capability through using computers and designing the product on a computer. We can get much closer to a final design. That's really the main reason for the improvement in time, is all the manufacturers now have CAD-CAM technologies and design capability where we can design a club on the computer and pretty much know how it's going to perform before we even make the part. And this is similar to technologies that have been used in aerospace and automotive industries. So those speeds to market are much faster now. The challenge for us is we really have the capability. If we wanted to, we could launch a new driver probably, you know, every 3 months. And in many cases, from a prototyping standpoint, we will bring product on tour that's new and different, and maybe it's just internally versus externally, every 3 months. From a business standpoint, though, the challenge is with all of our retail customers and golfers out there is, you know, we don't think the marketplace really would want new products that often. We've seen lots of success with our product lines when we last about 18 months to 2 years with a driver. The challenge is in the business, and this is where the marketing side comes in. If, you know, we sort of launch a new driver and then don't launch one the next year and keep sort of riding the old product, the challenge there is someone else will come with a hot new technology or product and take away some market share. And that's really the game when you see any business where the market shares are being fought over and there's good innovation, but in the consumer products business, it's very fast turnover of new concepts and new innovations. So we need to be prepared as a business, and we're very good at doing that. We've built the capability to provide breakthrough product very quickly now, and I think that's really driven by the technologies, but also by the consumers. In many cases, and again, our retailers were very common in saying this, is that golfers are coming in looking for new product. They don't come in very often looking to pay full price for last year's product. They're really looking for a new product. They're looking for something to help their game. And as someone once put it, we in the business are selling lots of hope to the golfers that their game is going to get better. And we want to make sure we can come through on that promise when that golfer walks in to buy a new golf club.
How often do you find that the average golf consumer changes product?
Well, it depends. You know, certainly a lot of the market research will point to the typical demographics of your, you know, early adopters, your early majority, your late majority, and your late adopters. So what you find is the percentage of the sales very early on are all early adopter golfers that, in many cases, these golfers will buy two or three drivers a year.
Really?
And it's a small segment of the marketplace, certainly, but there are golfers very keen on trying new product, trying to determine how it's going to work for their game. So there is a segment of the population that buys a couple drivers every year. We love those guys, and I think the people that everyone wants love those guys too, because they're very avid golfers.
We definitely love it, and I do see that the number one product turnover in a golf bag, without a doubt, is the driver. I mean, guys typically hold onto their putters the longest, and then probably replace their hybrids and fairway woods, as well as their irons. But every 2 to 3 years maybe, but their drivers, they replace them, it seems like, every 6 months to a year.
And isn't that generally the most expensive piece in your bag?
You can, you know, when you think about an overall purchase, and when you buy a set of irons, it would be more than one driver.
Yeah, of course.
The other comment we use a lot of times is there's a reason they call it a driving range. People want to go hit the driver, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where you see, you know, and if you could make a, I think many golfers out there, many amateurs, it's one of the toughest clubs to hit. And if they can make an improvement in there, it's going to change their golfing life and make them a lot happier.
Yeah. I have to believe that TaylorMade spends a tremendous amount of time, energy, and money in game improvement technology.
We certainly do. In fact, we really consider all our products. I know game improvement is kind of a subcategory, but when you go to a tour player, and as I was out there this week at Colonial, game improvement can be anything, right? If you're a tour player, maybe game improvement is lower spin rates or, you know, more fade bias or anything like that. So we try and make everything game improvement. It's just game improvement for different segments of the marketplace. Your question, I think, really refers to what is sort of the category of game improvement product. And we think we do a great job there as well with providing products like the CGB Max or the Tour Burner Irons or the Rescue Clubs that we've had great success with or the new Spider Putter. Those are all designed to improve the performance. And what we've found is, in general, when a product works better, golfers will play it. And I don't care if that's a tour player, a 5 handicapper, or a 25 handicapper. Some of the trends we've seen a lot more recently is in what we would consider game improvement products. I'm going to use hybrids for an example. When we first brought out some of the early hybrids in the late 90s and the early 2000s, we designed them to be what you would call game improvement. They were easy to hit up in the air. They provided a little bit more draw bias. They had nice forgiveness. They had alignment features, things like that. And, you know, the general feedback was, oh, those are really game improvement clubs, and good players won't play those. Well, here we are, you know, 8 to 10 years later, and there's probably not too many players on tour that are not carrying some kind of hybrid golf club. And so we see when we design game improvement features, they're really preferred by all golfers. And so that's pretty exciting for us. That's really how we drive our technologies, our business profiling, and, you know, our marketing is really around providing the best equipment for the best players in the world and then making those technologies so that average golfers will benefit from them as well. So, you know, we think everything is game improvement. It just depends on which player we're targeting. And that's a lot of fun. I was out when we first had the Rescue Clubs out on tour. And, you know, you had all kinds of jokes from the players. I remember Fred Couples, you know, calling it a, you know, kind of a hoe, and other players calling it a rake or a shovel or things like this. But in the end of the day, when these guys put the ball down and hit it with these clubs, they find better performance. So we see those trends more and more every day. In fact, you know, a lot of times when you go ask players about drivers, for instance, and what driver did you play 15 years ago, you know, they were very small heads, and now we're playing 460cc heads that are really awesome. It's helped these players, even on tour, get more distance, as well as the average player.
And yet they're going to the hybrids and the rescue clubs that have smaller heads again.
Yeah, and the, you know, the challenge for them is it's a smaller head versus a wood, but it's a bigger head versus an iron.
Right.
And so we were working a lot with players out there with some of the new rescues we're developing, and trying to understand why they use these different products. You know, why would they use a 19-degree hybrid versus a 5-wood or versus an iron? And, you know, trying to hear what they talk about in terms of looking for different shots or different courses that they play or challenges that they have in their game due to their swing and their capabilities there. I think most average golfers would be very surprised how many tour players aren't great ball strikers with a 3-iron, for instance. You know, these tour players still have the same challenges that a lot of golfers out there have. Now, certainly they work hard in practice and have great talent, but some of them still struggle to hit a long iron or a fairway wood. So it's still the same challenges that we try and get, provide the average golfer the game improvement. We really learn from the tour players and then apply that to the average golf clubs we make for consumers.
With all that being said, TaylorMade has some exciting new products that are coming out right now. Why don't we touch on some of those? I know one of the clubs you were just talking about was the new Rescue Club, and TaylorMade has a new Burner Rescue that's launching right now. And maybe you can give us some of the benefits and features of that new product.
I could sure do that. We currently in the U.S. have the number one selling hybrid club with the Burner Rescue. So that model is, now that we're launching a new one, we're going to call the new one the Burner Rescue 2. So I know that everybody's saying, well, what's the difference and how do we distinguish? The previous product was the Burner 07. It had the what we would call the crown alignment features and the red sole pockets. And I think a lot of people are very familiar with that golf club. The new Burner Rescue is really something we've learned from our drivers with the dual crown technology of the Tour Burner driver, which is currently the number one played driver model on tour and has been off to a great success in the marketplace this spring. What we've done is from the driver, we learned that in general, you know, we need a certain size of club head, and we cast the walls of these club heads very thin. In many cases, somewhere around 0.6 millimeters for most of the clubs. Now, 0.6 millimeters to most people who don't know what that is extremely thin, and it's about maybe 2 to 3 business cards, depending on the thickness of your business card. So when you look at these golf clubs now, you know, they may look sort of similar to golf clubs you've seen for a few years, but the walls are actually very thin on top. And when you thin the walls on top, you can make a lower CG. And that's what the dual crown technology does. It allows it to make very thin walls, but also a smaller crown than we did with some of the previous Burner products. So by making them very thin, we can't make them much thinner. So that's when we looked at these the metalwoods and said, okay, we can't go much thinner than this 0.6 millimeters with a cast metalwood. So how can we reduce the weight of that crown? And the thought there was, okay, well, we can make it smaller on the crown part of it, and that would help us save weight. And on the driver, it can save 5 to 10 grams on a fairway wood, similar amounts in steel. And that helps you lower the CG. But we didn't, when we had that thought, we didn't want to make the whole head smaller. We just wanted to make the crown smaller and leave the sole bigger. That's why we call it the dual crown technology. And what that does, that lowers the CG in many cases by 30 to 40% lower than previously. And what that does for golfers is that gets the ball up in the air. And it also gives them a shot that doesn't spin quite as much. And when it gets up with a higher launch angle and lower spin, the ball goes farther. And so in general, what you'll see with the new Burners will be the performance will be longer, but everything else good about the alignment, the setup, the feel, the performance, the direction, but they're just going to go longer than the previous versions. And that's what almost all golfers are looking for.
Absolutely.
No one ever comes to us and says, hey, I want a golf club that goes shorter than the one you had last year. So we know that's the constant challenge. So these new the Burner Rescues for 08, we're just launching here in this month, and we'll ship it next month. We're going to have two versions of it. The two versions we're sort of terming internally as the high launch and the tour launch. They're actually two different head sizes and shapes and face heights and two different trajectories. When we say trajectories, in this case, we're talking about the draw, fade, neutral trajectory. In general, the market product will have, in the high launch, will be a pretty good draw bias because most golfers out there slice, even though they don't admit it, and need some help. And then the tour launch golf club will what we would consider a neutral bias because many tour players and better golfers, they don't want the bias in their club. They want to hit it and make it go straight. But if they want to hit a shot, an intentional draw or fade, they want that club to be maneuverable. So I think in summing up, the key benefits of the new Burners for 08 and the Rescues are going to be lower CG, more distance, and great trajectory and workability between the two options that we provide. And we expect these to be both the number one selling hybrids out there as well as the number one models on tour very shortly when we get a few more parts in.
Well, Tom, I want to ask you if it would be okay if you were able to come back on our next episode and continue this conversation.
No problem.
Oh, that would be great. But before you go, can I ask you, can we make a brand new, before they even released, one of the Burner 08, maybe a Burner Rescue 2? Can we make one available to give away to one of our listeners?
Definitely we can do that. I'd love to have a happy golfer out there.
Well, thank you very much.
I always ask, Fred, are there any exceptions? I mean, am I allowed to enter?
No, Kenny, you're not allowed to enter. There is one. There are two exceptions. You and Tom.
And you.
No, and Tom.
Yes. And Fred.
Oh, come on. You guys aren't fun.
Well, no problem. We really get satisfaction out of making lots of happy golfers out there, and the happier we can make them, the happier we are.
All right, Kenny. Well, that was incredible. I'm so glad that Tom's coming back for a second episode because there's so many more questions that I have for him. But before you go today, my friend, it is time to see about doing the giveaway for the Golf Logics Garmin GPS that we've been talking about for a while. And we have received 348 entries from all over the world, golfers that want their own GPS system. And you, my friend, get to select which one it's going to be between 1 and 348. And the winner is?
Number one. I'm just doing something different. I'm going on a whim here. Number one. We random them, so it doesn't really matter.
No, yeah, it's all kind of mixed up randomly. We sort these things, and you're right. Number one has, I don't know if we've ever done number one.
I've never done number one.
No, I don't think so. And well, number one is from Ackworth, Georgia, and it's Gary Evans. Gary Evans, you have just won a new Garmin Golf Logics GPS. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Gary. Awesome.
That's fabulous.
He'll be a happy user of the Golf Logic.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are so great.
So great. All right. Well, now we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to win one of these TaylorMade Burner Rescue 2 new hybrids that are just coming out. And if you'd like to enter, go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest tab right on the navigation bar. Fill out all the information, click submit, and you are entered. Deadline for entry is June 10th, 2008. And we'll announce the winner just days after that. So get your entry in early. Thank you again for listening. And again, welcome to everybody that has come to the show for the first time. We love having you here. Now, Kenny, it is time to also let people know that if they want to get 10% off and free shipping of any order that they get from edwinwattsgolf.com, they have to enter a special code when they check out. Now, that new code will be GBETTER1, letter G, better, and the number 1, GBETTER1, that is your entry code, and you can get 10% off. Now, there are some restrictions, correct?
That is correct.
And what kind of restrictions might they encounter?
Some manufacturers have what's called MAP, which is the manufacturer's advertised price policy, but the main thing we have to look at is MSP, which is manufacturer's sell price. You are not allowed to sell for anything lower than the MSP policy. Some of those manufacturers are Ping, all the Acushnet brands, which is Titleist and Cobra, some Mizuno line. Just put the code in there, and if we can discount it, by all means, we're going to discount it for you. But some manufacturer restrictions do apply, and it's something that we have to live by. We're not doing it on purpose here. We just, manufacturers require that, and we see the benefit in that as far as their brand equity. They have a lot tied up in that, and they want their products sold unilaterally across the board for the same price.
That's mostly going to be for sets of irons and things like that.
Well, yeah, but on some it's going to be hybrids, fairway woods, wedges, putters, things like that. Yeah. So,
But if you need to get your, gloves and balls and shoes, things like that, you're probably going to be able to get
correct,
your 10% discount. All right. Well, for the listener to get all the information they need on how to receive these discounts and the free shipping, click on the line, click here for more info at golfbetterpodcast.com, and you'll get everything you need to know. So again, thanks for listening. We hope you gained some interesting knowledge, and we invite you to come back to talk to Tom once more as we have hopefully another interesting conversation with him. And thanks again for listening. Please put your feedback in iTunes. Let other golfers know what you think about this program. And we'll see you again for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.